They're as close to birds as we are to, like, rats, which is a lot closer than we are to fish.
No, but we're both mammals. But they're their own family. They're their own
dinosaurs
genus.
Dinosaurs are not their own
they
family.
They are. But, that's been a thing for, like, a decade. Two decades.
But birds have tits, so it'd be reasonable
birds
to
assume. Birds do not have tits.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
I'm sorry. I can go into any grocery store and find chicken breasts laying all over the place.
That's not what tits are in the sense of what we're talking about. They do not have mammary glands.
Mammary glands.
No, see,
they're called mammals.
I don't care about it making milk. I just want to see that nice thick tit meat.
Okay. Then, like, if you want to see
if your definition of a tit is it's got a nipple on it, then yeah, birds and dinosaurs probably didn't have tits.
If you mean like it has a chest, that it qualifies for almost everything out there.
More than a chest, a voluptuous chest.
Those are breasts.
Brian, do you
birds,
think,
reptiles, exactly. and
Brian, do you
fish
think
don't have them?
Do you think that dinosaurs had some voluptuous chests?
There had to be.
Well, it makes
no.
you. The next natural question is, which is the thickest dinosaur?
That's gotta be like Diplodocus or one of the like big, huge sauropods.
Diplodocus. There are lonely Diplodocuses in your. You know who used
thing.
To have a big chest but doesn't anymore? Lola Bunny. Hi, I'm Josh.
Are we really doing Space Jam?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I'm Big Chungus.
I'm Rick Fox.
Talk to your mic.
I'm Rick Fox. I'm an author here in Nashville, and I'm Wayne Knight's sweaty jockstrap.
Who?
Wayne Knight. He played. Wait, isn't he in this movie? Is
we're
he
doing
in,
the new
sure
one.
In this
we're
movie.
Doing the
oh,
new
we're
one.
No, we're. Why are we doing the fucking?
Because it just came out.
I'm LeBron James's sweaty jockstrap.
Thank you.
That's his son. Hi, I'm Brian. I'm an illustrator here in Nashville, and. I guess I'm connected to all of the internet.
I'm Caleb. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I said
we're
Space Jam.
Damn. And we're
opinionated.
I don't know where we're going with that one. That was weird, but I get the Foghorn Leghorn influence.
Right,
into
right.
It.
Yeah, yeah. That worked well.
It still worked.
You just ruined it completely. That's the weird thing.
Wait, how'd I ruin it?
By trying to do another We're Opinionated afterwards.
We always do We're Opinionated after we say our four things.
But that's what he led into, so it was the joke.
It's the segue, Josh.
I'm the one who does the segue on this show.
Not anymore. You've been replaced.
No, this show is nothing without me.
I am this show.
You can't handle the segue. Well, and tonight we're watching Space Jam A New Legacy.
Great segue.
Thank you. Space Jam A New Legacy came out this year, 2021. It currently has a 31 on Rotten Tomatoes. It was written by Leo Benvenuti, and it stars LeBron James, Don Cheadle, Cedric Joe, Chris Davis, and many others.
A rogue artificial intelligence kidnapped the son of famed basketball player LeBron James. Wait, what? Really?
Yeah.
The son of LeBron? It's not even supposed to be. Who then has to work with Bugs Bunny to win a basketball game? Why the fuck are we watching this movie? No one gives a shit about this
Lots
movie.
Lots of people give a shit about Space Jam.
Space Jam? Yes.
And
Space
so
Jam
they will care
two.
About how shitty the new one is. I don't want to hear it. You make us watch all sorts of shitty, like, oh, it just came out. We got to watch it to stay
Why,
with
what?
The trends. All those other ones.
Yeah, exactly. I don't do that. I do ones people care about.
Before we continue, can someone turn off the AC?
Oh, fuck.
Be right back.
And we're back.
With a little less background noise. Sorry about that intro.
It helps me sleep.
You can tell that we've been doing this for 2 years. Speaking of which, this is our... More than 2 years.
I was like, what's wrong with you?
No, sorry. You're like 6 years.
Yeah.
No, what I meant to say is you can tell we've been doing this for 250 episodes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that this is our 250th episode.
Yeah, it is.
Last time we...
No,
had,
actually, last episode was our 250. This
yeah,
our
last time we set, we had a milestone, we were like, we're doing a Pokemon movie. And then when we hit 250, we're gonna do the new Pokemon movie, and then we got to 251 and we're like, the new that Pokemon movie sucks ass.
Kind of just are boring, like this.
Yep, not even in a fun way. So we're watching Space Jam 2.
We can watch the one with Lugia in it.
A New Legacy. That one is pretty good.
Yeah,
but we've already done
that. Was like literally 21 years ago, right?
That would be the one that we would do if we did it. If you want to hear us do that movie, go to our Twitter and tell us you want to hear a Pokemon bullshit movie.
I would much rather watch that right now than this.
Honestly,
stupid
movie. Honestly, me too.
Well, tell me why, Caleb. What have you seen about this new Space Jam movie that makes you apprehensive?
I'm mostly just picking up vibes on the internet that it's trash, and also the review you just read, the Rotten Tomatoes rating, does not make me enthusiastic.
What was the rating?
It was like, what, 39?
31.
Here's the thing. Like, Space Jam was a fun movie that tons and tons of people saw a long, long time ago. It wasn't a great movie, but because we were kids and it had Bugs Bunny in it and Michael Jordan, we all loved it. And that's fair, and that's reasonable, and that's a good reason to review that movie. No one gives a shit about this movie, and kids. I know because I have seen very, very few internet reviews of this movie, and if anyone gave a shit,
it's for
YouTube
kids.
Interview. Yeah, we're not kids. Neither are our audience.
It's
yeah,
for
we
kids.
Got some kids.
We watched Pokemon movie.
Yeah, we've watched plenty of kids' movies, my dude.
Yeah.
You made us watch Mulan, and we never even released that episode.
Ones the people who were kids when we were kids gave a shit about. And yes, we did. It's one of our most popular episodes.
So this will also be one of our most popular episodes by that same logic.
This is a very family-friendly podcast.
Always. So my thoughts going into this movie, aside from Rick, you got to tone the salty bitches ness down just
I'm
a smidge
to
enough
a smidge
to review
of
this.
Interest in this movie, and if people
is
don't
that
for my saltiness,
the first Space Jam, the one
Space Jam,
the first Space Jam, the one that we all
new,
like,
new legacy.
Only has a 44 on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's not. And I remember it being a great movie, yep. But the critical consensus is that no, Josh, you're wrong. You were a kid when you watched it,
correct?
Right? And so that's. I think it's exactly that. I was a kid when I watched it, and I liked it then.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'd seen it for the first time today, it'd probably be pretty doo-doo.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that going in and watching this today, it's going to be that same experience where it's not going to be like the entertainment that I want.
Now we've become the old farts.
Yeah, we're the old farts. We're the old cranky 30-year-old men that are like, eh. Why is Porky Pig rapping in this movie? That it's so cringe.
Big Chungus, really? Meh.
Exactly. And then, meanwhile, all the kids who would have been in the theaters are all, like, I have seen several reviews of that. Like, I've got some friends who are parents.
Sure.
And they've said, like, look, I loved the first Space Jam. I went in and wanted to, like, kill myself watching this one. It's so bad. But my kid fucking loved it.
Yeah, that's because kids fucking love everything you put in front of them. I have a kid. I know.
They
it's
don't
not
pay attention
hard to
at
entertain.
All. They just Fortnite dance the entire time.
We weren't much worse, my dude. I remember being those kids that, and we had plenty of those kids going around singing Crazy Frog in the hallways, so
that's
we had
wrong.
The Naruto runners in our generation.
Don't forget about the hamster dance,
think, but
exactly. So I don't know, I think that there'll be plenty of this movie to make fun of, and it's been a minute since we've got a good movie that we've been able to rant about. Because even some
because Fast 9 was quality cinema.
No, because even with Fast 9, like, we shit on it a bit, but there were all, but we all generally had, like, the, yeah, the story's dumb as shit, but the action's really cool, and I like this over here. And so I'm looking forward to tonight being a movie where we all just kind of pull our hair out and, like, shoot death glares at me.
See,
because I'm the one making us watch this.
If that is the case, fine. That'll make for a great episode.
Exactly.
Like, us yelling about it will be fantastic. What I'm worried about is someone is checking the time that this podcast lasts, and they're seeing 32 minutes,
Rick,
and we didn't
Rick,
have
every
enough
time.
Of a movie to talk about, because this will be some boring-ass bad shit.
No,
that
you're always worried about that.
Interest
and it always
of
ends up being an hour and a half long.
Icon that is Space Jam original.
At each other back and, forth.
If you keep interrupting me, no one will hear my very salient points about why I don't think this will be a good podcast.
That's a problem.
Let's hear you yelling over.
No.
Oh, gosh. Salient points. Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Well, yeah. We definitely have to leave in where the air conditioning was on initially.
And that's because we need the full 32 minutes. We can't be releasing
no,
a 28-minute podcast,
that's just
my dude.
I don't want to redo the intro. Like, we could recut all that. I just don't want to do it.
Speaking of
not wanting to redo it, Rick, you had tons of rewrites on your book, and eventually you said, fuck it, I'm publishing this thing.
I wish I could say you're wrong, but that's not inaccurate.
Your book is available on Amazon in paperback and e-reader form. It's called Fate's Pawn. But along with that, you've got a new release that's coming out. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Escape from Persephone 4 is the story of a kid in a janky-ass Iron Man suit trying to fight off villages of yetis, giant wolves, and robotic monsters and in order to build himself a spaceship and escape off a frozen hellhole.
That sounds
awesome. Do the yetis live in a village?
Yes.
Why is he attacking poor village eggies?
Because they have technology that they don't use. They just think it's a giant bunch of scrap that causes demons, so they keep it
okay,
on the ground.
It's Playing of the Apes.
Manifest destiny.
They're smarter than that. They just, you know, sometimes these things blow up or cause robot zombies. And so they kind of try to just take it and leave it alone in a place where maybe it won't work.
Playing of the Apes are pretty smart.
Escape from Persephone 6.
4.
Sorry, gosh, I'm thinking
ahead of the sequel. If they Google Escape from Persephone 6, they'll probably get some weird porn thing that's on Amazon's publishing.
Escape from Persephone 4, it's not on like your regular spot. Where
Correct.
Can folks find
you
it?
You will need to have a Kindle app to check it out. You can check it out. The first 3 chapters are free. Go nice. There, leave me a like, if nothing else. But if you want to continue on, there's a currency there that you buy it with. That's sort of the way it goes. There will be a new chapter every week, so go give it a check out.
Additionally, if you like the rest of us and want to help support us too, the podcast is a Patreon. Patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as $1 a month, you can listen to all sorts of bonus content, including first impressions, listener requests, and even some tabletop gaming episodes. Additionally, our Patreon is a great place for you to go tell us if you want us to review the Pokemon with Lugia movie.
Right. And not to do things like Space Jam 2.
And you can tell Rick to fuck off because you love us reviewing Space Jam 2.
Please.
Definitely go support us. That's patreon.com/opinionated. Guys, we're going to be back in just a minute after we're finished watching Space Jam,
A New Legacy.
Welcome, King James. I am the king of this domain.
This is the serververse.
What'd you do to my son? Where's Dom?
The only way you're getting your son back is if you and I play a little basketball. Pete, send this clown to the rejects.
Wait. What is this? Ah! I'm a cartoon?
What's up, Doc?
Come on and ride, baby, ride!
I need to assemble an elite team to help give my son back.
I know what you're looking for.
So shoot, baby, shoot!
A dream team. Mom, shoot the ball. Let's try that again, shall we?
Last Christmas, I gave you my fart.
The very next day, you tore me apart.
I gave you some shitty podcasting furniture.
Oh, it's not shitty.
No, it's okay. It's all right. It's pretty decent.
It's okay. Podcasting
furniture. The only thing it could really use is some giant holes drilled in the middle for us to put our mics through.
I mean, we can.
Why would that help? That would...
Why is that bagger?
Yeah. It's better for the acoustics.
I don't think it would be.
Yeah. You have giant holes in the middle of the table.
I'll take your word for it.
I believe so, I guess, yeah.
So there's a reason we're talking about these acoustics, because that movie sucked.
Yes, and not that.
I'll say this. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting, because I was expecting it to just be a cringe fest where I sat there and like cursed out the kids for being both on my lawn and part of this generation.
And in this movie?
Yeah, and it wasn't that bad. There were definitely parts that were cringe.
Does WB own Gargoyles?
I don't know. Maybe. Probably.
I'm pretty sure I remember watching it on WB.
That's what I think. I want to know if they were in the crowd, because I like Gargoyles.
Well, let's start there. The crowd was really impressive.
It was like Ready Player One, but WB.
Yeah.
I didn't know they owned so much.
For the middle part of the movie, the crowd was the best part.
Yeah. It's fair. And that's actually true. Yeah, the crowd was the best part.
The crowd was looking for.
Okay, that one scene that was funny was slightly better than the crowd. But most of my enjoyment from the movie came from looking in the crowd and being like, "Oh shit, Pennywise, that's cool.
I know that."
Because what was going on in the middle of the screen was just relatively inconsequential.
Exactly. Yeah. There's like, it's seeing characters that have no business being in a children's movie being in a children's movie that is the funniest part of this movie.
So there's a couple of issues,
but no sex appeal. Sex appeal bad.
Yeah, sex appeal's bad. Yeah. But we can put a bunch
Murdering,
of rapists on the screen.
Yeah,
that's totally okay.
That's why they skipped the gargoyles, because they're basically naked.
That's right.
Yeah, they're hot. Well, I mean,
there is a lot of gargoyles porn out there. I'm sure.
No, 100%. Not as much as you think, though.
I'm sure Brian's like, I've drawn several of them. It's the fan fiction.
No, that's what I'm talking about. There's just not. A lot of people didn't draw it back then, I guess.
That's fair. I
hate to interrupt, but I apologize for farting so much. My fiance accidentally poisoned me today, and I'm dealing with the repercussions.
What, you again?
No, I'm allergic to corn, and she brought me some leftovers from a new Indian place that she went to. And I love Indian food, but I guess she forgot that, like, as part of like the filling for this dumpling or whatever it is, there's like corn in it.
Mm.
And so I ate it, and then after I'd finished eating, after she gave it to me. Uh-huh. She came back and she's like, oh no, there was corn in there. I'm like, great. Now I'm going to be shitting myself.
Can you not tell when there's corn and stuff?
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, if I took a bite of something and it had cheese in it, I wouldn't be like, huh, I wonder what this new fresh texture is that I've never gagged up before. Like, how you not know what corn is?
Well, because it's like generally vegetable textured.
Was it just like a mashed corn filling of sorts?
No, so it was a samosa.
No, it was a literal corn on the cob, and I just ate the entire thing.
I ate the cob as well. It was weird.
How did it get in my mouth?
Oh, no. No, it was a samosa, which is like a fried dumpling. And so
I'm pretty sure
filling,
that's a cookie.
That's a Samoa. You're thinking of mimosa.
Oh,
no, that's an alcoholic beverage.
A mimosa would have made this movie a lot
Samoa.
Better.
You're thinking of Jason Momoa.
You're thinking
Jason Samosas.
You're thinking of the mountain that exploded Krakatoa.
Oh, yeah.
So I was busy eating Krakatoa. And the filling is like a bean paste with like vegetables and like it's really flavored delicious. It's great.
No, it's not. It's Indian food. Indian food's gross.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here, fart master.
We're not technically inside your house.
Man.
You're in my garage.
Also,
in
my own closed-minded bullshit.
Incredibly. Oh my gosh, Indian food is delicious. Gross. Lots of great seasoning and it's got like it's got peas and it's got onions and all sorts of other vegetables because this was specifically a vegetarian one, right?
Yeah, it's even worse.
And so I ate it and it wasn't until afterwards that she was like, "Oh, hey, there's corn in that." And so now I am ripping ass.
Rip ass
as we're recording. And I worry that it's loud enough to come up on some of the like if it's during a lull when no one's talking.
I'm just surprised that you managed to pass off that early thing as like the AC being on and not you just ripping ass.
just a constant 10-minute fart.
Yep. Well, if the farts come through, make sure to call it out in the comments.
That's true. Yeah.
Exactly.
Let us know.
Go to Elbercho and on Twitter. And by the way, that's an I, not an L, because Josh doesn't have the right Twitter name. Go there. Tell him to stop farting on the podcast.
So all of that to say, I think there's a few things holding this movie back.
Holding this movie up.
No. The first is that we're cranky old men. But realistically, one of the big ones is that LeBron is not an actor. He seems like a fine person. I have no issue with him. But he doesn't have the charisma or the on-screen like chops to really carry this
movie. This is also a nightmarish scenario for someone who's not an experienced actor because the majority of your co-stars are green screen.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Or family members.
Sure. Yeah. And I went back and watched some of the old clips with Michael Jordan. He wasn't much better.
No.
Like, he was a little bit better.
No, but the Looney Tunes carried it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing that is dragging this movie down immensely, is that
the
Looney
bit,
Tunes are not that funny in this.
They don't have the original voice actors, which hurts.
I mean, they didn't have the original voice actors for the first one, I don't think. I think that guy died in, like, the 60s.
Oh, classic Fritz Freeling and whoever else.
Do they at least have the original writers?
I don't know.
I mean, surely they would be dead, too.
Yeah, they were, like, in the 30s.
I don't know. Maybe you can do one.
Or, like, the golden 30s? Age.
Isn't that when Porky Pig was saying that he was from? The 30s?
When he originated?
Yeah.
That's not, like, the golden era writing of it, though. That's just, like, when he existed. That's like, fair. The original Mickey Mouse.
That's fair.
Let's see. I'm looking it up. When did
Looney... I actually have no idea. Yeah, now that I think about it, like, I don't know what
it
era
came
it
out. A lot of eras. It was basically from 1930 to 1970.
Okay, so, like...
The 70s would still be really old.
They're probably all dead. They did not write this movie.
No, definitely not.
I'm not convinced anyone wrote this movie. I think Algorithm wrote this movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the feeling that it has, and that's one of the problems.
And I think that is one of the bigger issues, because the thing that I recall about Space Jam, and granted it's been just
it's
a little
been a
bit
hot
since
minute.
I've seen Space Jam, but to me it felt
we
a lot more...
We watched that on here, haven't we?
No, we haven't watched that yet.
Really?
Yeah, no. But to me that movie felt like Michael Jordan had kind of stepped into a Looney Tunes like episode. Like Bugs felt like Bugs. All the characters felt like them. They had bits that worked for their particular character. In this movie, it's more like...
It felt like that for a little while during this movie, because when LeBron first gets sucked in, and we'll talk about like the reason he's here in Looney World, but...
Well, why don't we start there, because it's the middle part where I think all of the problems that Rick is getting at come into play, so we're getting ahead
sure.
of ourselves.
Sure. LeBron is busy being basketball dad, and
being
he's too busy...
An awful dad, which is a bold place to put this movie at the beginning.
Which, by awful dad, he's not like kicking the shit out of his son. He's just like,
not no, supporting son, no. what he should.
I know that you like video games and that's where your true passion lies, but basketball no. is life, son. No, you need to like, stop doing that.
You must
that
be
focus.
My heir. Yeah.
Here's the thing. His son misses one layup while he is casually playing ball with his brother, and his dad teleports onto the court and is like, son, that was shit. You suck at basketball. I have no son.
Yeah, but that's what happened to him when he was a kid, and it was because of the video games, and after the video games, he became the god of the court.
That's true, but his son doesn't need to become the god of the court because his dad isn't missing his games because he has to go work his night job as a nurse. His dad is LeBron Dude. Fucking James. He's got all the money in the universe.
It yeah, but his dad is missing has. His games because he has his own games.
Exactly. So LeBron is busy being bad dad, and his son, Dom, is just like, oh,
family.
Played by Vin Diesel, which was, I think, a bold choice.
It was a great makeup effects for him. His son, Dom, is like, oh, he's simultaneously, like, it's not that he hates basketball, but he enjoys it casually. He has no interest in, like, really pursuing it.
He's starting to hate it because of his dad.
Because his dad's kind of forcing it on him so much.
And his dad is a giant dick about it all the time.
And Dom is really into video games, not just playing them, but creating them. He's created his own little fun basketball game that's realistically way cooler than anyone his age should be able to.
No, play. It's fucking impossible.
No,
he created a super scanner that can scan anything.
Yeah, and his dad walks in, sees this game on his computer, and is like, oh, that doesn't look like real basketball, son.
What do you mean you get bonus points for style? That's
posterized.
Ridiculous. That doesn't exist in real life, as if there's no other basketball games that do this.
Exactly. LeBron hasn't played them. He only plays actual basketball.
LeBron James is playing. They're heating up. Well, that's ridiculous. They don't say he's heating up an actual basketball.
No one says from downtown.
That's ridiculous.
There's no globetrotting in my house. Get out.
He's like forcing his son to walk up to get breakfast while dribbling, and if he stops dribbling and takes a step, he just hits him in the head.
Exactly.
That's traveling. Bam.
You got to be real careful with your rules if you want to make China happy.
That's true. No, that's true. Yeah.
So that all happens, and then LeBron goes to bed, and his wife is like, you should be nicer to our son. And LeBron's like, maybe. And then the next day, it just cuts to them going to Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Warner Brothers is giving him this pitch, which has, we find out, been created by this sentient algorithm named Algorithm.
That's not that bad.
It's pretty bad.
The name's pretty bad.
And he's probably the worst character in the movie.
He is the worst character in the movie, but the name's fine. Like, this fits for that kind of thing.
I don't know what his motivation is, because at one point he's like...
He's a longing bigger.
But at one point he's like, I gotta make all the money. And then at another point he's like, I gotta get all the recognition. Mm-hmm. And then at another point he's just like, nah, I really just want to fuck over LeBron James. That's my motivation, is screw you, man.
Yeah, because LeBron said he was not a good idea.
But that's the thing. Like in the original Space Jam, which is not a great movie. I'm gonna keep hammering back. I'm not coming back to this because that movie is an awesome piece of filmmaking. It's just at least mildly competent, which I don't think I can say about this particular movie.
Okay.
But in that one,
the Monstars.
So the Monstars are run by this evil guy who has literally enslaved them. And that provides an interesting thing because the Monstars themselves are not actually bad, even though they're kind of dicks through the movie. They're just, you know, they're people that you can sympathize with, and that's kind of gives them
By
an interesting
the end,
character.
You can sympathize because their boss comes back and is like, yo, little shitters.
Yeah. You've got
and
some
it's
levels
like,
there.
Oh. Yeah, despite the fact they've been dickbags this whole movie, it turns out they were the victims of the dickbag all along.
Oh, yeah. That's the only role model they have, and that's the world they live in.
Exactly. Like, someone finally gives them power. It's the bad guy, but, you know, it kind of works out.
Yeah, but Algorithm is just, like, an egotistical nerd with, like, Napoleon complex.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's not even there's not even an actual motivation for him. With the Monstars, they want to win so they can get out of slavery, which fair, but I guess you can't do that in a movie with China watching. Like, that's not gonna be okay. But meanwhile, you've also got the super hateable actual bad guy. So by splitting it up that way, you've got more characters to interact with on a character level, and you've got an actual, like, super hateable villain that can just be totally awful all the time, which I don't feel like Algorithm can be. He's kind of a jerk, but he's not really
the reason he can't be super hateable all the time is because we skipped forward a little bit, but essentially, they go, LeBron and his son, for some reason, he's bringing his kid to this business meeting with Warner Brothers.
Right.
Because he's a genius, but his dad doesn't acknowledge that part of him, but he's still in that
business. They go there, and Warner Brothers is like, hey, LeBron, how would you like to be a part of every intellectual property we own for all time? And LeBron's like, that's dumb. I just want to play basketball.
He literally says that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
That's one of the top five worst ideas I've ever heard.
He's not wrong. No. LeBron does not need to be in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But then his son is like, this would be great. And also, Dad, I'm not going to basketball camp. And I'm telling you this during a business meeting with Warner Brothers.
It's like when you break up with someone at a restaurant so they can't make a stink. Yeah, like he did in front of his professional friends.
Or propose at a basketball game.
Yeah.
And so LeBron and his son have the father-son disappointment talk in this business meeting with Warner Brothers.
And Sarah Silverman for some reason.
Yeah, and then they just run out of the room and... the only people who work at Warner Brothers are the executives in that room. Everyone else has gone home because of COVID. And so they just wander around the empty Warner Brothers lot until they come to their massive server warehouse.
Well, it's the magic elevator.
Yeah, no, it's the elevator that gets them. It sucks them down to the basement, and neither of them question it. They just are like, oh, let's go out of this elevator onto the clearly wrong floor.
Like, yes, it's the magic elevator that takes them down to that floor. But at the same time, like when they get down there, it's not just the magic server sphere. There's also all of the like regular real life server towers down there too.
Yeah.
Which makes it weird for me at least, because I'm like, if it's gonna be like the fantastic, oh, here's the sphere and they fall into it and now they're going into the Warner Brothers verse, right? Sure. But this makes it hard to distinguish whether like the Warner Brothers IT department is like, yep, these are our server racks, and right there is the Warner Brothers verse sphere. Right. Don't touch it.
This is the event horizon.
Yeah, we're waiting to get our little like, you know, the movie theater lanyard things that go around it to make sure people don't go in. Yeah.
And normally I would be perfectly forgiving of this because you need the plot to happen, and this movie's not going to be like well thought out from the beginning. But later on, they make it very clear that algorithm can just suck people into their phones.
None of this is necessary. That happens because he gets the code from the game from Dom.
Which only happens
after they fall in.
He also says later, I can just see you through any like anything that has.
But he could not scan them into the game.
If he can get into his camera and his microphone on his computer, he can get into the computer.
No, because Dom didn't click the allow those permissions.
They're very careful.
All I can say is this place has the worst security I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, it's all run by Al.
I have a security guy with a mustache who's like asleep in the corner or something like that. Well, but there is
nobody.
No, they
do have a security guy, Malik, who is in this movie for some reason.
Is that what he is?
No, he goes and talks to him. He goes and talks to the security guy.
He goes and talks to the security guy, but Malik isn't a security guy.
No, I know that. I'm saying that's what he goes and does. I don't know why Malik is in this movie. He's not funny.
I think he's just LeBron James. He's probably LeBron James'
actual
real-life friend. And he's like, hey, man, I hear you're going to be in Space Jam. Can you squeeze in a part for your homies?
This is Kevin Hart in Fast 9. Not
exactly.
I think it's more like Bill Murray the fat guy from Jurassic Park.
Except
not funny.
Yeah.
The reason I bring up like the whole reason for like the plot, right? Dom and them fall in. They go to the Looneyverse. Well, no, they go to the Warner Brothers verse first before they go to Looney Tunes Land.
Right. Yeah.
But the reason...
Toon World from Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah. Yeah. But the reason that Al G. Rhythm can't be like that super over-the-top villain the entire time is because his hook, the way that like his progressing the plot is he's trying to like woo Dom, LeBron's son, over to his side. He's pretending to be the good guy to him to like incite this rivalry almost between father and son so that he can beat LeBron in a game of basketball.
I don't think that's true. I mean, like, if you've ever seen Hook, you've got Captain Hook doing basically the same thing with Peter Pan's kids, which is a weird sentence to say, but you've got that dynamic going on while Captain Hook is just being the most evil, comically over-the-top bad guy ever because he's Captain fucking Hook.
Yeah, but Hook is a story of finding the child within. It's not a father-son reconciliation story.
Yeah. It literally is a father-son reconciliation story. That's exactly what it is. And the other thing about that is that Peter Pan is just kind of a giant stick in the mud the entire movie, which is what LeBron James is in this movie.
God, that bums
this
me
movie
out.
Is a remake of the fucking Hook, guys. I just realized that. Oh my. No, but anyway, I think that you could have him go that far. It's just they're not interested in doing anything fun with them. They're just going like, okay, let's have some wacky over-the-top computer bullshit happen. All right, we're done here.
Algae rhythm running the game, mm-hmm. right, is the worst part. I like when – so he says, LeBron, hey, if you want to get out of here, you got to play me in basketball, which at first – after finishing the movie, I was like, that's so dumb. Like, he already had said he was just going to keep him there. But I guess the whole point was to draw the big crowd so everyone right. would see them and yeah. finally acknowledge Algae Rhythm, right?
Right.
So, okay, I understand why you want to fight King James in a game of basketball. I like the part where he's like, all right, you got to go out and find your team. Here's the Warner Brothers verse.
Sure.
Go crazy. I think it's dumb that he starts with Bugs Bunny and doesn't like go, hey, Harry Potter, you've got some magic, right?
I mean,
you
want to like—he's a fucking nerd.
LeBron does
Fine.
Want to
Voldemort,
get like.
You've now got some we're useful talking. Spells. You want to use one of those on Algae Rhythm for me?
See, I think that like if you're gonna do this, have all the bad guys on Algae Rhythm's team be like Voldemort Actual and all these bad, other bad like.
Because yeah.
watching Voldemort, they were in the crowd.
Have watching Voldemort like dribble pass to Pennywise, then they alley oop it to the guy from Clockwork Orange, and, he, and then he just beats one of the Looney Tunes to death with a giant. Dick.
But at the same time, they've still gone through the steps of like increasing all of their basketball.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, they're
so like
actually
Voldemort's
amazing.
Coming in here, and he's just got all the ball handling
exactly.
skills.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
He's like passing it between his legs. It's getting caught in his robes. It's hilarious. Yeah. No, you could do some really funny stuff with that. Instead, we get like snake basketball lady and
well, and the reason for it is because just like in the first man. One. You know, all of Michael Jordan's friends were the villains, right? Charles Barkley and Larry Bird and everybody else.
But the only one of those that had, like, the ability specifically of that one is the one that got Muggsy Bugs, because Muggsy Bugs was the only one that was super unique in the way that he played. Like, so you don't need that for these guys. And also, like, I don't know about you guys, but I don't think any of these guys are nearly as famous as, like, Charles Barkley, Muggsy Bugs. All those guys in the 90s were way more hyped than this.
There are plenty of people... There are plenty of basketball players that are incredibly famous.
I'm certain
that
there are.
We just don't know because we're not basketball
Exactly,
guys.
But
I don't
that's
pay
the difference.
Any attention to basketball.
I wasn't
Never
a basketball
have.
Fan in the 90s, but I knew who Charles Barkley was. I knew who Patrick Ewing was. I knew who Larry Bird was. I especially knew who Muggsy Bugs was because short guy in basketball, and that kind of warmed my heart a little
sure.
bit. But
I mean, like, Anthony Davis is a very well-known
I've
basketball.
Literally never heard of him.
He's the eyebrow.
That's you,
He's
though.
The eyebrow bird, yeah.
Huh?
That's you. Just because you don't know stuff doesn't mean they are not known.
I'm not saying that they're not known in spaces of people who know basketball. I don't doubt that at all.
I think even kids know about this stuff, and we just don't.
I don't think that's the case.
I think that it's the case.
I think basketball was 100 times bigger in the 90s in cultural spheres. Now it exists, and it's kind of big, but it's not nearly the big deal that it was, which is a big problem of this movie. Michael Jordan, I think, had way more, like, cultural impact than
he's
LeBron
one
James
of the
has.
Most famous athletes ever.
Exactly. Like he was the
Well, that's because he went on to play baseball and just
fucking nailed it.
But he was so much more of a cultural icon, I think, than LeBron James is. LeBron James is definitely
very much a basketball icon.
Exactly.
Can you imagine if they made this game, but instead of LeBron James, it was Pele?
Yeah, exactly. Like there you would get all the European like people to watch then. I would actually watch a soccer
special. Yeah, it's like the World Cup version.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. But I think that that's one of the problems
they've
is
just got
that,
like Messi is out here just like kicking balls left and right.
Exactly. But I think that one of the interesting things about this movie is that with Space Jam, they actually kind of gave Michael Jordan a character arc that fit in sort of with his actual career of like leaving baseball, coming back to basketball, like that whole thing, and like seeing why he'd originally fell in love with basketball in the first place. Like that's all actual interesting and kind of goes along with who he is.
Well, no, but Rick, you don't understand. In real life, LeBron was a bad dad until he watched Looney Tunes and learned to be a good father.
Which is a bold statement to make. But I think that that is more interesting for his character. And I'm guessing that he was like, all right, I'll do this, but you got to put my kid in it because I want my kid to be a part of this whole thing.
From interviews that I've seen, he was really excited to be in this because... like he watched Space Jam and loved it. And he was like, this is the opportunity to be like a iconic part of my childhood and bring this to the next generation. Like there's no way I could pass this up. And I'm sure he was instrumental in getting his kid to in the movie.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't just think it was like, You know, this is going to be a great cash grab for LeBron. Like, I think it was something that he's like, you know, yeah. I'm just excited to be in Space Jam.
That may be so. I'm not going to say that it's not. I am going to say that if I was a guy who got paid to be in Space Jam, you know what I would say about being paid to be in Space Jam? Oh, man, I loved that movie growing up, and this is a part of my childhood that I get to be a part of.
Also, looking it up on IMDb, his kid is not his real kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, then
magic is gone.
LeBron James was played by LeBron James. Dom James was played by Cedric Joe, and Darius James, the older brother who was good at basketball, was played by Sierre J. Wright. So it looks like,
in that case, fuck this movie. I don't give a shit about it now, because I thought this was a cute thing that he did with his son to be like, hey, I get to be a part of Space Jam, but I also get to have my son be in a movie. And yeah, this probably isn't going to be a great movie.
Channeling
but
that Will Smith energy. This,
exactly. Yeah. You get to have like a moment with your kid, and that's fine.
Except the Will Smith energy, I think, is literally the story of this movie, where his son's like, Dad, I don't really want to be an actor. And Will Smith's like, fuck that. You're being an actor.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm teaching you about family right now.
But I accept this movie so much more readily when I think it's a cute family moment for LeBron and his actual kid, knowing that the plot was something that like the Warner Brothers executives were not like forced into to have a little kid in there. It's like, no, this is a terrible idea, and this is all bad because of it.
Well, what do you want the story to be? Because it can't just be a rehash of the first one.
Yeah, it fucking can. That's sequels all the time.
I don't know that it necessarily Transformer needs movies to be different. It's just that the execution was really questionable for me, and we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit still, because there's this really charming part of the movie where they introduce all of the animated characters.
And I really enjoy this part. Talk about it for a little bit.
So they introduce Bugs Bunny, and he's been abandoned by his peers. We later on find out because Ali G gave them all a deal they couldn't refuse, and they flew off to, I don't know where they went.
Well,
exactly.
And a deal they couldn't refuse is not the, like, mob boss, like, you're going to leave or I'll kill you. He literally was like, hey, you guys will be more successful if you're part of these other Warner Brothers properties and you don't just stay Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And apparently all of them were like, yeah, sure, I'll go be in Casablanca. That's more culturally relevant than the Looney Tunes.
Right. So LeBron James and Bugs Bunny get to know each other, and Bugs gets on his team, and he's like, we gotta get the team together. You don't need Superman. You need my people.
Which I do like that LeBron's first instinct is not like, oh boy, I gotta go get Wile E. Coyote. His first instinct is like, okay, I need the best in the Warner Brothers universe, Superman,
Iron Giant. He gets to hang out with Superman, his idol.
Yeah, he's at least trying to pick the heavy hitters and not like, oh boy, I sure can't wait to get Tweety Bird on my team.
That makes sense when you're stuck in the Warnerverse and that's the first thing you know. I think this would be a lot more fun if he had just been a fan of the original Space Jam. It's like, no, let's just do that again. Like, you could do some, I think you could do more funny references to that than you can with this setup. Although, I will say, this is my favorite scene of the movie.
Yeah, so they wind up riding through all these different Warner Brothers intellectual properties. Mm-hmm. He's trying to find a given, like, super character from X, Y, or Z. And it just so happens to be in that context that he finds the cartoon characters, such as Daffy Duck or Porky Pig. They just show up in these random places, and it's honestly hilarious.
It is.
Yeah. Well, and by random places, it's random.
Like Casablanca is one of them.
Warner Brothers IPs, right?
Right, and it's very well executed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foghorn Leghorns in Game of Thrones, and it's really funny.
It's funny to see him as he is Khaleesi in this movie. Yeah.
Although,
it's really funny.
I will say that this entire thing has me reminded of other things I'd rather be watching, which is sort of a problem with it, but I will say it's the funniest scene of the movie. It's genuinely riffing on things, and that's what makes it work, I think.
And I disagree with you to a little point about, if LeBron had just come in and been like, hey, I loved Space Jam, I want you guys to be my team, right?
Sure.
Because when he first gets to Toon World and he sees Bugs Bunny, he does recognize Bugs Bunny, and he's like, whoa, I loved Bugs Bunny. So it's clear he does know the Looney Tunes and he likes them. But the whole story of his is like, he takes the game way too seriously. He has to learn how to have fun and appreciate his son, like,
which is a bad
having
story.
Fun with it.
Also want to change that, just so I'm
and
clear.
And so when he's doing that, he's not like, oh man, I need to get the Tasmanian devil who can spin real fast. He's like, when he's describing, I need Superman, I need the Iron Giant, he's saying, okay, I need a power forward. He's still thinking, like, in the terms of basketball, I need someone who's tall and has a good wingspan. The Iron Giant should cover that, right? He's still thinking very, like, literally about the people that he's picking. Right.
But except, to be fair, he's, like, Bugs Bunny is basically sabotaging the team just to get his crew back together. Like, he's not in it to win. He's like,
right.
I'm only gonna go get these guys again.
Yeah, I just think it would be more fun if, like, the resistance was, like, Daffy Duck doesn't want to play basketball again. Like, we kind of get that with Lola, of she wants to do this other thing.
She wants to be in Amazon with Wonder Woman.
And I think that would be more interesting as a story idea of, like, you have to reignite the passion that they have for the thing that you're actually playing, rather than a super corny, let's play this for my kid who isn't actually my kid, guys. Like, I think that would be more fun, and I think that most of this is just the excuse to have, like, the kid be the center of the movie, which, when you're writing around that idea, kind of ruins your movie. There's a reason that most people complain when there's a kid in the movie.
I don't feel like it's as bad as you're given, like, the rap for. I think you're being a crank, which we knew coming into this we would be cranky old men, so I'm not, like, I'm not, like, saying you're a shitbag for doing this.
But I'm just saying time, you're a shitbag,
Rick. But at the same time, I'm calling it out for what it is. I don't think this movie is that bad by kids' movie standards.
Sure.
And honestly, the kid actors in this, I don't think are that bad by kid actor standards.
Actors. I mean, they are not worse than LeBron, so I'll give you that.
LeBron is a worse kid actor than the kid actors in this movie.
Remember when he decided to become Looney, you guys, and he did his Looney face?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my
that
gosh.
Was the so, that might which, be the worst part of the entire movie.
Yeah, let's it made talk me about really that uncomfortable. Too.
And Brian, I want to hear your thoughts. Because
well, before we move on, there's one thing I want to say is that I think this film might have been improved if you would switched up the cartoon cast a little bit, because there all of these Warner Brothers IPs that they have in their repertoire. There have been several new ones over the past, 20 years, basically.
Who do you want to see that wasn't included?
I don't know. You could just, like, call out some of the people that have grown up since then. Like, have some Ben 10 shit in there or something like that.
Is that Warner Brothers? I think that might be Warner Brothers.
I kind of do agree with you, because it feels like all of the references are made for the people who are our age.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I do feel like is a mistake.
It's like this whole thing is about, like, LeBron James himself loved what the first one was like, and so he probably wanted to be in a second one given the opportunity, and all of the people that are his age are probably thinking, like, oh yeah, I love this guy and I want to bring my children the same experience that I had, and they're all focused on the parents and it's just enough to engage the children.
Yeah, right. They need like Angry Birds and Fortnite and the Backyardigans,
of course. And I'm not saying, because clearly they don't own these IPs, but if you think back to WB Kids, mm-hmm. like, we could have had Pokemon and Goku in here.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Like, obviously, they're not, like, WB doesn't own them.
Right? I didn't know they owned Hanna-Barbera. Like, there's a lot of good Hanna-Barbera characters.
Yeah, for sure.
The question I wanted to ask you, Brian, because you are an illustrator, mm-hmm. so give us your thoughts on, A, LeBron being cartooned when he first gets to Toonland, and then, B, everyone coming to 3D once the game is about to start. Because when the basketball game is finally about to start, like, algorithm sends out this big pulse and everything that was a cartoon is now IRL. And so
it's not having a pulse. He's like finger snapping them individually, yeah, exactly. Like it's painful for them to become three dimensional.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they were just screaming about it the entire time?
But they, like, they all still have their Looney Tunes
like
powers. They just don't like
back together again.
Exactly. Yeah. Aesthetic.
It's some kind of Lovecrafting experience for them. It'd be like coming into the fourth dimension for us.
Like they can't exist in that plane properly.
Exactly.
They're just like, having lungs hurts.
Why do I have mass?
but starting off with LeBron, what do you think of cartoon LeBron?
He looks like all of the new redos of old cartoons, like whatever,
like
new
Scooby-Doo and
well,
the Teen Titans.
There's like
Go.
A new Scooby-Doo every 3 years, but for like sure. The new Scooby-Doos, the new Looney Tunes, where it was like Bugs and Daffy are like roommates in an apartment and shit. What? And it just looks.
He also reminds me a lot of the new Animaniacs, like just
a
that,
little
that kind
bit
of animation style.
I don't know what program they use to do that. I don't know if it's tweening or what, but it just doesn't look as good. It looks better than I thought it would because they make him goofier and stretchy. Like, I figured he was going to be way more static, but
I like that because at first it is kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
But they do have him do some funny, like, cartoon things, right? Like, classic Looney Tunes. Someone gets a safe dropped on them.
Sure,
obviously they don't die, but they, like, they waddle out and it's just a pair of feet and some squished eyes on top of them,
exactly.
Right? And it's funny. And they do some things like that with LeBron, and I think it works.
Yeah, I didn't like the race that Bugs was having. Like, I feel like when they introduced Bugs, they were just trying to get off as many, like, of those same cliche things in every second that they could. It wasn't really, like, narrative or anything.
And that's sort of what I feel like was the biggest, like, flaw of this, is it doesn't feel like...
Every character has their own little niche.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't feel like you're in a Looney Tunes cartoon. It feels like they are trying to hit you with a barrage of Looney Tunes cartoons things, rather than building a actual, like, idea around this.
Yeah, well, and it's because you're not in a Looney Tunes cartoon. The Looney Tunes cartoons are one piece of this giant WB verse.
Right, which I think is part of the mistake, is they are trying to force too many of these things in there without doing it in an interesting way. Like I said, if they had brought in the villains of all their properties in, like, you've got the Night King in there passing to Voldemort, that's a great scene. Yeah. I would love that. But instead, they're kind of just doing it the lazy way and being like, all right, here's this thing, here's this thing, here's this thing. Oh, you like seeing that thing, don't you?
It's more references for the sake of references.
Exactly.
For the most part. There are some times that, like...
Like, he became Big Chungus purely for the sake of the meme.
Exactly, for sure.
At least it was for, like, 1 second, and we got past that.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think it would have been more fun to see this entire... Like, once LeBron goes into the Toonverse, we treat it kind of like... not Alice in Wonderland. The Wizard of Oz, where, like, okay, now the movie's in color. We're going to stay in color until we go back to the real world. Mm. And if they'd done a, like, actual cartoon for, like... I don't know, a good 45 minutes of the movie had his kid be in there as a cartoon, I think that could have been a lot more fun, and you could have leaned a little bit out of LeBron James not being that great of an actor.
Because he wasn't as bad when he was a toon.
Exactly.
Voice acting is easier, and when LeBron gives a goofy face and it's just him doing a bigger smile than normal, you can really exaggerate a lot of that when you're drawing him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
They could have... He got turned 3D by a magic machine. They could have CG'd him up like Michael Jordan got stretchy during the game.
Right, I kept waiting for something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Except he just got game power-ups.
Because in the first... And let's start talking a little bit about the actual basketball game, right? They're playing basketball for the fate of the world. And also...
Not really.
The fate of his son. Well, the fate of everyone who got teleported.
The fate of LeBron James. The fate
of, like, a few hundred people so that Al G doesn't have to be alone anymore.
Yeah. In the first half of the game, predictably, LeBron James he tries to play basketball too much by the book, and he can't let himself have fun like his son wants him to. And then at halftime, he learns his lesson, and he comes back out, and he starts having fun and being loony. Mm-hmm. And this is where I expected more of, like at the end of Space Jam, the first one, where Michael Jordan's arms start to stretch because he believes, right?
Yeah. Because we can do that now. Like, at the time in that movie, that was probably a difficult effect to make work. But now we've got a lot more options that we can do with that kind of thing. So you could have him just be a human cartoon for the rest of this thing.
My expectation when we got back from the halftime pause was that, well, when I saw that they got converted into 3D, I cringed deeply inside, and I thought to myself, surely they're going to bring them back into cartoons, and that's when it's going to be all loony and wacky, and they're going to have, like, the train going through the basketball court.
Like, they couldn't be loony while 3D, but then once they returned to their 2D selves...
It would have been too expensive to do it while being 3D.
If that wasn't the case, then why the hell did he do that? What difference did it make?
Really, what? Instead of, like, them being, like, just 3D versions of their characters, it's just a literal bunny, a literal duck, like an old lady,
but still voice like literal duck, and he's just looking around, and you can see that the bill does not, like, line up voice acting wise the way that Air Bud would.
Suddenly it's Babe back from the 90s again.
Air Bud didn't talk.
No, but they still talk, but it's still Daffy Duck, like, I'm gonna be the coach and look expensive. Right, but it's just a duck there.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been really funny. And then at the halftime thing, when the Bron learns
they
to
drink
ease
Toon
up.
Juice or something.
No, they drink Michael's secret stuff. I need it.
Always sounds a little bit. I am sort of sad that they didn't actually get Michael Jordan to do a cameo in this movie. By the way,
that would have been awesome.
I would have.
I think
really
it's funny that they
got
Michael B. Jordan.
That's funny, a funny joke. Yeah,
but it still would have been fun. Like if Sylvester had gone out and been like, "I got him. I got Michael Jordan," and they bring him in and he's just way too freaking old to play basketball.
Right.
And he's like coming in on a locker, and he's like, You guys got this.
Guys, I sell car insurance now.
No, they come in, and he's like, and he's super old, right? And he's like, LeBron, you're having too much fun with this game, you asshole. What's wrong with you? And he just goes into full like 90s Michael Jordan asshole mode.
He comes in, but he's regressed past the point of the first movie. And he's like, guys, I don't play basketball. I'm a baseball player. Exactly. He goes right back to it.
He just starts hitting him with a baseball bat. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I don't like the 3D look at all. No. It looks terrible. Yeah.
It makes no sense. They have in the background of the entire center of this movie all sorts of CG characters. There's like hundreds of them. And all of them look really great whenever you catch a view of them in the background. And yet somehow the cartoon characters converted into 3D look like they look like they belong in a cinematic in a PS2 game.
Mm-hmm. It's not great. And it also doesn't make sense why Ali G like cares enough to make them 3D. Like it's
like,
just,
why did he do that?
It's like story wise, he's like, now you guys are 3D. I'm gonna cackle maniacally while I do this to you one by one. And it doesn't matter because after halftime they're still just their same Looney Tunes selves except in 3D. So I don't understand.
It's probably easier to have 3D objects interact with 3D objects.
That's exactly what it is. Like they were like, all right, we want to have actual LeBron in this part of the movie, so we're gonna make you guys 3D. Like,
but
that's
for me, that was the
it.
Entire charm of the first one. My
that's the entire
gotten,
charm of Looney Tunes.
My memory has gotten really foggy about what exactly was and wasn't Toon. Like, was the basketball court in the first one also a cartoon?
No, it was just the Looney Tunes and the
but
monsters.
The ball was a Toon.
Sometimes. Okay. Sometimes. It's just . I
to me, that was the charm of the very first one.
It had that Roger Rabbit appeal.
Yes, it was a little bit awkward, but I think that gave it a lot of charm for me.
Mm-hmm. The other part of this whole end basketball thing, there's several parts that don't work. We've already talked about how like this movie's version of the Monstars, right? Mm-hmm. Like the goon squad that comes in. And it's the real life basketball players, but combined with some cool animals, which is a fine concept. It's much lamer than getting the actual villains of the WB universe.
Okay, hear me out. You have those actual basketball players made up to look like those villains.
That's fine.
They absorb the powers through the Monstar basketball of the villain. Yes. Why would we want to play like pretty good basketball players when we can play like Voldemort?
Voldemort just kills LeBron with the Abracadabra. What? I'm done.
Damian Lillard.
No rules.
Pennywise.
He said no rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, that would have been fun. They didn't do that. But the other issue is that it doesn't seem like there's much thought into why they're these monsters.
Because that's just what the kid happened to scan on his desk.
I guess the one that bothers me,
spider, but also like there is fire and water.
Yeah.
He owns fire and water.
An eagle and time itself.
Right.
A watch.
I am Kronos Man. Yeah. I am Time Guy.
He scanned a watch.
It's time itself.
The
other issue that I had, because things go along predictably, right? Like, oh, the Looney Tunes come back from the halftime, reinvigorated, and start doing Looney Tunes things to score a bunch of points.
Powered by LeBron's cringy smile.
Right, which I enjoy parts of this. Like, there's some good gags. I like when Wile E. Coyote does the Acme clone ball and clones a bunch of basketballs and then gets
sucked. But my beef with that is, it wouldn't work because the bird never does what he wants it to. Like, that's his whole gimmick.
They're on the team. They're on.
That's fine. The bird needs to fuck him over purposefully, though, for this to be an appropriate gimmick.
The bird hardly ever does it purposely. Most of the time, it's accidental, and it's Wiley's own wiles that catch up to him.
The best one, though, is definitely when the giant hairy monster absorbs the water guy. Like, that's hilarious to me. He just, like, slurps up the entire thing.
I've seen some things.
My issue with this and the resolution
soaking
in general
up all that ball sweat
is that algorithm has been shown already to basically just be God in this universe, right? He can do whatever he wants. There don't seem to be rules regarding how he can affect things, right?
Right.
At one point, he's just like, oh, Dom, you decide that you love your father more than me and algorithm? Well, fine, then I'll just be the best basketball player ever. And he just gives himself all of basketball powers. And now he's... And also, he has the ability to rewind points that the other team has scored, but only two at a time, I guess. So it's weird that Like, he shows himself to basically be God in this universe.
Yeah.
And he shows himself to be a cheater. So yeah. There's no reason for him to respect this agreement he's made with LeBron.
He got glitched out by LeBron's special move.
Why does that work?
Because they established it earlier in the game that the Sun didn't have time to fix within a week.
The glitch, like, pauses the game.
It crashes the game.
It crashed the game.
Sure,
and
it crashes the game. But it deletes whoever shot it, which was Bugs Bunny. Not algorithm.
It does both. It crashes the game and destroys the
game. And then algorithm gets posterized, which is a thing that it's like, oh, you got slam dunked on, except it's like it's the splash screen, like you got slammed, whatever. Well,
you become like a baseball card.
But why does that, does that delete him? Like, he is the algorithm.
Well, they were all kind of being deleted anyway, like all of the computer generated guys, and just when the game was over and he got fucked up, everyone else got fucked up.
But he's the god of this universe. Why does he let that just
because he
just
believes it should happen?
Rewind that point. Already can do that.
You want to know how to fix
it? No,
this.
They do say that he can't rewind the point because it's glitched, but it's still, it's still a really lame way for the villain to go out. For a really lame villain to go out.
The way
your program
you fix
crashes,
this,
you just launch it again.
Yeah.
Is the game already has super low stakes. Like, it's not the original movie where, like, the Looney Tunes are going to be sold into slavery if they lose.
They're going to be erased from existence.
Yeah,
not that he still wants to use them. He just is going to use them to play his game.
He said the tunes will be erased.
Yeah. He's going to keep LeBron and play for all eternity.
The stakes are way higher in this movie, but they don't feel like that at all. They feel way lower.
If you say so. I don't remember.
No, the movie says
I don't remember that line, so fair enough.
I agree was in there. And but, I agree with you, Josh, that it like, in the halftime, they should have been like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
man, that would have been fun.
Elmer Fudd was saying that.
All the Looney Tunes have existential dread.
Elmer Fudd said that.
Instead, they're just like, I'm bummed out. We're losing.
But since you've got this godlike being that just is going to cheat and win the game, the way that you fix that is LeBron and his son just start having fun playing against each other. That's all you do. Like,
because he's the master coder who can create the game. Oh, and then he
undoes it somehow. He magically uncodes algorithm.
Oh, algorithm bumped up his game stats. Well,
it loops back around, actually.
You're not the god of this game. I'm the creator of this game. And your hooping ability is now zero.
Right, exactly.
Whatever.
If
something
they had like
that.
Had a head-to-head where it's just like keeps on escalating, where they basically do the whole Super Saiyan thing where they keep on charging up more and more. That would have been a better climax.
I think so, yeah. There's a lot of ways you could really make this work. But since the entire thing is about LeBron learning to have fun with the game and his son learning to have fun with his dad, essentially, even though he kind of wants to have that from the beginning, you could fix that, but blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Just to have them have
it's
fun
LeBron's
together.
It's LeBron's journey, not his son's.
I mean, but it should be both if you're going to do that. Like, if you're going to have this kid there, it needs to be
his,
both.
His son learns to accept his dad's apology.
Yeah, something like that. Or maybe just have his son be more like, actually doesn't want to play basketball at all and like hates it because of his dad. And then through this game that he plays with his dad, he learns to love basketball. His dad learns to have fun. Yeah. The entire thing works together.
No, I got it. I got it. Ready? His son really wants to get into like the mobile gaming sphere. And so at the very end, Algorithm is about to win the game. And LeBron's son just does some furious typing. And all the sudden, Algorithm has to pay $2.99 to unlock the ability to score more points.
That'd be great. That'd be hilarious.
But he has all the money of WB on his side. Yeah, he could pay
for
that.
He doesn't have their password.
Oh.
Yeah, and by the time he types it in, the shot clock's already counted down. Oh, so yeah.
He forgot his password.
You really should have saved your credit card information in the game, Allie G.
So, is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
I'll start my final thoughts because I'm the one that like forced us to watch this
you
tonight.
You kind of are.
I had more fun with it than I was expecting. Honestly, I expected to cringe. Like there were definitely some times where I cringed.
Yeah.
Granny like coming in and doing Matrix shit and like flying across the court.
She is the one.
Apparently, and Porky Pig coming in and doing his rap was kind of cringe. I can imagine some like 7 and 8 year olds like enjoying it a lot. But
The 13-year-olds are like, oh fuck this.
Yeah, but it was pretty cringy. But all in all, I had more fun with it than I expected to. My favorite part of the movie was all the different scenes where they're going and collecting all the Looney Tunes characters.
Yep. Oh yeah.
It was fun and it was entertaining. Like it was short gags, right? Cause it was like a 2-minute gag for each one, but each of those were entertaining and each of those felt Looney Tunes-ish, right? Because Looney Tunes is always like doing a riff on some other established story.
Yeah.
Sure. Right? So it felt Looney Tunes and it felt fun. My least favorite part of the movie is, you know, I'm tempted to say LeBron's acting, but yeah. I genuinely think that he tried. Like, I don't think that he just came in and phoned it in. Like, I think that it's something he enjoyed making, even though he's not really a great actor.
Sure, yeah.
My least favorite part of the movie is Algae Rhythm. It's a stupid concept for a villain.
It's a stupid name.
And a stupid name and a stupidly executed villain. Like, just the whole thing around him is just bad. But I still had, I had more fun with this than I was expecting. And the experience of watching this, like the amount of riffing that we did in there as well was just, like, I had a good time with you guys watching this movie. Mm-hmm. So, I had 3 out of 5 snake basketball ladies.
That's pretty high.
That's the experience I had watching it. It was the movie's probably not a 3 out of 5, but I had a good time watching it, and I think other people would have fun watching it.
If you guys can watch it with us and riff along beside us, then you get a 3 out of 5.
Caleb, what do you think?
I did enjoy watching it, but at the same time, there were several moments where I'm just scratching my head, asking myself why, and cringing.
Yeah.
I think that they could have made this better. Granted, that's always the case, but like you were saying, one of the places of charm in these characters is the way that they manage to bring in current events. And in that scene towards the beginning where they're all cartoons, you're introducing them again, they did an excellent job with that. And I wanted them to keep that energy and just more stuff like that, even if it has to be as cringy as Big Chungus. It seems like when they got to the court, that approach went out the window.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're just focusing on these new villainous characters that don't really matter.
Right.
And the villain, of course, as you were saying, is problematic. So my favorite part is the same thing you said. Those 5 minutes.
Sure.
Really, I thought they were hilarious and I liked it a lot.
I was surprised to have genuinely laughed at multiple points in this movie.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst part for me is the way that they executed the basketball arena. Mm-hmm. It felt like instead of LeBron and company being pulled into the Toon world, it felt like they pulled the Toons into some semblance of the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when people turned into 3D, I could not believe what I was seeing.
It also felt very claustrophobic because I like the idea of having all of the fans primarily be different creatures and characters from the different Warner Brothers movies.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But they're like so crowded up on the court. It felt very like, I don't know. It was hard to get the scale of the game.
They really wanted to just capture that same feeling that Ready Player One had. Like, look, this is everything you've ever thought about ever right here.
Right.
So with all that being said, I'll give it 2.5 suffering succotashes.
Brian?
So I got a lot of least favorite parts of this movie. It's weird. I feel like they had multiple writers, or the writer just forgot some of the things they say up in the beginning by the end of the movie. Like,
yeah.
Bugs Bunny clearly had his, like, he was doing like an almost goofy movie thing. Like, he had his own reasons for wanting to get the Toons back together. Mm-hmm. He was in it for himself. And they never touch on that after that. Like, he just gets the Toons back together and no one's like, you fucked us over, man.
Right, exactly. I was going to be Superman.
And it's weird that no one talked about it. Like, why establish that when that's not going to be like him coming to Jesus? Or like, he doesn't learn to be a beggar bunny or anything.
Right, right.
Algorithm, they set him up as a totally redeemable guy. Mm-hmm. And he just gets fucking obliterated. He doesn't get to exist anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why make him redeemable if they're not going to redeem him.
Well, mm-hmm. And just to be a little clear, to me, they didn't do anything with his character where he's like on the cusp of being redeemed. They just set it up as like, oh, his motivation is that he's lonely.
Yeah, no, right. that's fine.
Something that can easily
How
be redeemed.
How dare you be
lonely? His character
lonely.
Doesn't do anything. Like, he's an asshole through and through, and he just gets worse as the movie goes. It's not.
Yeah,
like
but
he
we never see him kill anyone.
Right.
He's just a dick.
Only because he lost, though.
Yeah. Yes. He would have killed people, presumably.
Presumably.
Yeah. But
Algie, murderer of children's icons.
He's presumably a child. Like, I don't know how long this algorithm's existed, but he's, like, dumb. So there's no reason you couldn't have just taught him, like...
Much like algorithms in general.
Like, the Braun son, Kung of going over to him like, I'll teach you how to be friends. You can come and live in my game forever and everyone will love you. And it's like, okay, everyone's happy now. There's no reason that Kung of existing in this movie instead of him just not getting to exist anymore.
I'll make you the best basketball player in my game. Everyone will love to pick you, literally.
Or maybe you can be the announcer or something like that.
Anything. Yeah. Anything bigger than just like, you were going to delete people so you don't get to exist anymore.
Guillotine.
Yeah.
An eye for an eye. A theoretical death for a theoretical death.
Did they really need Bugs to pretend to be dead?
No. Especially when they really hammered home the, like, I'm a toon, I can't die.
Yeah.
And then he's clearly back to being, like, a 2D toon again.
But then it shows him turn into, like, a godlike being for a couple of seconds when he goes into the sky. Yeah. And it's taller than, like, the sun.
Then he shows up in the real world?
It's weird. And it doesn't seem like he reconciled with the other tunes, so they're all just grieving over his grave back in the tune world.
Never see them ever again.
And he's busy doing Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. But then it shows the other tunes come to hang out with LeBron, too, in the after credits, so whatever. But
sure.
Nothing matters.
There's a lot of... It's weird to me that they set up so much stuff that they forgot about, or that they just subconsciously set up stuff and didn't know what to do with, but...
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think this is as good as the first one. And they didn't touch on they need MJ to come back. They at least need Bill Murray to like be in the crowd and be like, this is weird. Like anything.
He loves doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. 2 out of 5, LeBron James.
Okay. Rick, you salty, salty bastard, take us home.
This movie fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as fun as the original, and maybe that is the rose-colored glasses I'm looking back on it. It's been a long time since I've seen that, so I'll put that out there.
And you saw it as a kid the first time you watched it.
Exactly. So that is definitely going to color things. But to my mind, this is a pale imitation, which is what everyone expected it to be, and so I don't really know why this movie got made. Like, to me, it's
money.
Weird. Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it's going to make that much money. Like, I don't know.
It'll make money. I think sure people will acknowledge it's bad, but it's going to make its money back.
It just must have gotten astronomically easier or just less expensive to have 3D design people make this stuff for you.
Either
because
that,
they had so much of it.
Warner Brothers just was like, hey, we have this property that we haven't done anything with in
years.
Let's try and do it again. And that's what it feels like, is this corporate like, hey, we want to do this for no real artistic reason. There's nothing we want to tell here. It's just, hey, make a movie, algorithm. All right, algorithm made a movie.
A lot of the same guys who show up in the crowd are the same characters that showed up in Player One. So I'm wondering if they're just the cheapest to afford, or if they're
once you have the rights to it, you can just like do it. And they probably have the
Player
costumes
One
on the
WB
set.
Or something.
I assume so. If they've got all those characters,
like, that's where I was.
That would make sense the most. Is like they've got that big. You know, that's anyway. My least favorite thing about this movie is generally just the uncreativity behind most of it. It's all very bland. It's all very much what you would expect. The only scene that has much creativity at all is the one scene in the middle where they're kind of going through the different movies and picking up the Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun.
Yeah.
And if the whole movie had been as fun as that, it would be a very high rating.
There's no reason it couldn't have
been. That was genuinely funny. And there's no reason that it couldn't have been. There's a lot of clever stuff you could do with this movie and have it be fun. Instead, they shat this out.
Yep.
Favorite scene, that thing, least favorite thing, general uncreativity. My final rating is 1 poop out of 5 poops.
Did they not remake the Space Jam song? Did they just reuse the same Space Jam song for like 15 seconds?
Was it in the movie?
Briefly dances to the dun 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 thing.
That's not the same. You gotta everybody get up. It's time to jam now.
Like, you have to play it during the climax when you're about to win. Like that's how you make it work.
And
it's gotta be your anime
song. I believe I can
song.
Fly too.
Yeah, you got it.
So a couple things because I've been perusing the Wikipedia on this movie while we've been doing our closing thoughts. A couple things I thought were interesting. Based on the first week's box office for this movie, a third movie is already in development.
Oh, God. Oh,
no. I will say.
What about the second movie?
I like the direction that it's going. They are doing what I wanted, which was taking Space Jam and moving it to other sports.
Okay.
With a much more charismatic lead actor. The third one is supposed to be centered around professional wrestling starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's a movie. I'm board for that.
And I can be down with that. And then the other thing is just I'm looking at this list of Warner Brothers cameos and references in this, and some of the jokes that we made were actually in here. Like the Droogs from A Clockwork Orange were actually in this.
I pointed them out.
I didn't see them. I thought you were making a joke.
No, when I said there's a bunch of rapists in the crowd, I was not joking.
Which is weird. Uh-huh. It's weird that Pennywise the Clown got front row seats in this children's movie.
A monster that literally eats children.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The number of cameos is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to read them off because there's like too many.
But it is cool. That is a cool part of it.
But it's neat that they've got so many in here.
Yeah, it's fun to see.
The best part of the movie, quite possibly.
If you want to hear more of our thoughts on sports movies and action movies and bad movies. Shh, don't tell them that. And bad movies in general, go find more of our episodes on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and Opinionated Podcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's to our thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating on iTunes and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing us with your friends, it's the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for listening.